Hello, Facebook Ads people. I'm Konstantinos, and this is the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Hello, guys. Another podcast. Most probably, I'm going to do one more. Then I'm going to stop for the whole August so that we can all relax. Then I'm going to continue again on September. Because it would be extremely difficult to do podcasts and, I need some time to relax. It doesn't mean that a person like me has the luxury of just going off the grid for a month, but I will still be working daily with budgets and answering your questions and everything. But, I'm not going to do any video shooting for 1 month. That's my little vacation. About the week that we had, very good results. Still, I'm very happy. I'm scaling accounts. Everything is going well. So there's nothing bad right now with Facebook. There are some days that they're bad, but in average, we have very good results. So I have been in contact with some people that they have a new program. Let's call it the program X. These people, we have done a very deep technical discussion on why Hyros is not reporting well, why Triple Whale is not reporting well. And don't get me wrong, they do report well, but they don't report in the way that I want. What is the way that I want? I want all the data to go back into the asset level so that I can use them for optimization. And sadly, what Hyros, Triple Whale, or Wicked Reports, or whoever, what they're doing is that they're uploading the data as offline events. They don't go into the asset level for optimization. With this new program, they are claiming that this is what they're doing exactly. The way that they explain it to me in a technical level makes total sense. They are one of the few programs that they have complete integration with the Meta servers. And this is something that I will test extensively in the next 1 or 2 months. And if it's working, I will start using it in all of my accounts, and I will start also proposing it to you. Basically, the idea is that they are not... So when somebody is clicking something, Meta is actually trying to find who clicked or whatever, or other programs with the click ID or with another way. They're using mostly the IP, and they are able to flood your ads manager with all of the data. They already have 200 plus customers, which is not a lot in my opinion, because they're starting just now to scale. And at the end of the day, it's all about testing them. They say that they're reporting things with milliseconds, so super fast as things are happening. So I will be able, if it's working like the way that they say, to do again my manual bidding strategies with one-day attribution and all the things that you have seen with the videos. So if it's going to work, I will let you know. And of course, I'm going to do video about it. I'm going to promote it because it looks like it's a very good solution. But until it's proven, there's no way that I'm going to give cloud to a company that I'm not sure if they have good results and stuff. But if they have good results, most probably I will ask them even to become affiliate with them. Okay. So in this channel, I have every day a lot of propositions about doing collaborations and stuff. I'm rejecting all of them because I'm just waiting for the one good company that I would really, really, really like to promote because I believe in it. And I have high hopes. Maybe it's not going to be that this one is going to be, if it's going to solve the problems that they say that it's solving. We will see. Because in this channel, I will not sell something that I'm not using. I will always try to promote something that I'm already using so that you can also benefit and me get some money in the way, because I referred you to it, but only for things that I believe that they're going to help you. Now, let's go. Summer is here and we have some questions, some more questions. Let's go to your questions. I will keep you posted about the other topic, but it's not yet the time. I will have to test it for 1-2 months in some of my accounts, in some of our other accounts, and then we will decide what we're going to do and if it's working. If it's working super fast, maybe I will talk to you about it on the September show that you can use it before Black Friday. We will see. So let's go to the first question. Hi, if I want to advertise dog products next to horse products, which are in our shop, can I use it with the same pixel because of different audiences? We're afraid to confuse the algorithm. The dog products are in a separate campaign. Thanks. I don't think that you have the luxury of doing that. You have to advertise with both, sadly, and then eventually you will train your pixel to both of them. Of course, do it in different campaigns and stuff, but I don't think that you can just have different pixels. The ideal scenario it would be to have one store for the dog, one store for the horse. It would be much better because you would train your pixel in a niche. But here, sadly, if they're in the same store, I wouldn't suggest you to add two pixels there, unless if you wanted to do two different sites. I still have seen a lot of sites operating in several niches, especially pet stores, which are having that. You don't have the luxury of having parrot niche, dog niche, cat niche and stuff. You're advertising to all of them. So eventually it's learning to target people that are more likely to have a pet. So no, I wouldn't do it. Next one. Hey, I wanted to hear your thoughts on these. As I think so far, you have the most interesting approach. Thank you. Ideas on the platform. We began testing the crazy method with 160 daily in just Germany. 13 to 17 is the cheapest. Okay. Details, one CBO campaign, 8 ad sets. Same 13 to 17 Germany audience, each with the same 3 creatives. However, one concern I have with this, wouldn't there be a chance that one person could technically see the same creative 8 times in a single day, since there are 8 ad sets all targeting the same audience? And on top of that, wouldn't 8 ad sets competing against each other end up increasing the bid cost CPM of all of them together? So this is a very typical question that I get, and it's all about competing with each other. Let me tell you one of my personal experiences. There is a video in my YouTube channel that I spent 1 million in a specific ad set. This is because Facebook wanted to do a test with it. So what happened at the end is that I realized that from the 200 million people, I don't remember the numbers exactly, I just targeted 10, 15 million people. The thing to that is that when you are thinking of 200 million people and all of these numbers are so huge that you should not be afraid about competing with each other. Secondly, if you are seeing good results, then you need to start, you need to start thinking of, do I care if I show to someone 8 times my ad, if my ROAS is good? I don't care. And you should not care also, because this is what is happening also in television. For example, why it's not a problem if Coca-Cola is advertising 20 times and we're watching the same advertisement again and again and again, and it's a problem for you. This is just a stupid explanation that some people give, that you're going to make people get tired of you. Bullshit. In the television, people are watching the same advertisement all the time again and again and again, and it's not an issue. And okay, you might say that Coca-Cola is different because it covers another need from me. Okay, but as long as you're getting ROAS, maybe it means that people are not offended by it, or they don't care about it if you're doing it in such a big frequency. So I don't care about frequency. I don't care about competing with each other. I have my own test, and I have videos also in YouTube channel, in my YouTube channel, which I show that even if you spend an enormous amount of money, you won't be able to reach all the people, the potential reach in an audience. So you need to do the crazy method in order to segment to different people. And you should not care about competing with each other as long as you're seeing good results over there. I'm using the crazy method in some accounts now for more than 6 years. And I can tell you that it's not something that, because you might think that, okay, it might be working for 2-3 months and then you are up your whole ad account because you are just messing everything up. No, this is not the case. I have been using it for years. So that's my answer to this. Next one. I've been thinking, basically, I think I should make one video about that, competing with each other. And crazy method. So it would be nice to explain a little bit again the crazy method and stuff and why you should not be afraid about competing with each other. I see it a lot. Next one. I've been thinking and I'd like to know your thoughts regarding my analysis. Would it be interesting to use maximum lifetime budget in a CBO crazy method campaign, for example, within 7 days? Here's my thought process. If I run a lifetime budget is that you're putting a specific budget for a specific period of time, and you can also segment it during different hours of the day. For example, you might say that I want you to spend this between 5 and 8 o'clock in the evening only, instead of spending you through the whole day. If I run the campaign this way, the Facebook algorithm can allocate the budget more effectively based on the buying behavior of the target audience. Let's say the algorithm observes that there are more online buyers on Monday, so it will spend more on Monday instead of Tuesday, where in this silly example, there would be fewer online buyers. Alternatively, do you prefer a daily budget? I prefer daily budget all day long, because I think that this is what makes better accounts in terms of when you're doing ads, you should not care about one day, but you should care about the average, the 7 days and the results that you're getting in general. The lifetime budgets, in my opinion, they're problematic because they're just going to put you in... first of all, I have tested them and they are not working better comparing to the daily budget. But on the other hand, I think that when you say that I want you to spend all of the prime hours and stuff, you are just making a speculation from the time zones that you think that is going to work better when this is not the case. For example, I have seen accounts that in one day they have a lot of sales in the morning, another they have a lot of sales in the evening. I think that you are missing opportunities here and you're not optimizing in the correct proper way when you're using 7 days, 1 day view, 7 days click, 1 day view. So that's my answer about that. I know that it makes sense to you to say, okay, I want to advertise only the prime hours, but, when you put them together, it doesn't work very well with lifetime budget comparing to the daily, budget. And I think that the reason is because people are just making assumptions that these are the hours that I should spend it and stuff when things are changing from day to day and maybe the hours are going to be different stuff. Now, if you're so clever and you know the exact pattern of how people are buying into your store, maybe the lifetime budget is for you and maybe you're going to have better results. But especially with new businesses, for people that are watching this now and they don't know it, for me going into accounts and starting working with them that I don't know all of that, I wouldn't recommend lifetime budget at all. Next one. Today, I had a sale with Crazy Method, a similar target audience. It's the second day. I have already identified a set of ads that are spending a lot of money without generating any sales. I will turn them off and reduce the budget based on yesterday's expenses as you taught me. That's amazing. I think it's the continuation of the same message. Yeah, it's a continuation of the same message. Glad that you understand it. By the way, there is no crazy method with lifetime budget, just so you know that. If you do lifetime budget, you don't do crazy method, basically. But I'm happy for you that you're having sales and you're using my crazy method. Next one. Hello, I just came across your page. What about the discard draft? Can it be recovered? This is coming from a video which is all about how to recover a deleted campaign. And he's asking if you can recover drafts. Drafts are drafts. If something has never been published into the ad account, it doesn't exist. It means that it's just a draft that if you don't publish, then it's like you never did it. Okay? So, no, you cannot recover any drafts. Next one. Love the videos, man. How do you feel about testing the same creatives in different types of campaigns? CBO, ABO, Advantage Plus, LLAs. Wouldn't it cause an audience overlap, or it's good to test creatives in different types of campaigns to see which works the best? I'm having that setback when it comes to scaling. as you can see, most of the times people, I don't know who has poisoned the whole community with the idea of competing with yourself and stuff. I don't know where this is coming from. I haven't found it, but I don't understand why the logic says that as long as that it's profitable, it's fine. I don't understand why everybody is so fixated with the idea of overlapping or with competing with yourself and all that. Now, what you're suggesting here, it's normal, Tommy, and I do it all the time. You have something working very well, and you can see that you're having sales. You do another CBO campaign. You take it and you do broad targeting crazy method by lowering the potential reach with the demographics that you have seen that they have worked when you break down the results. You're doing lookalike audiences with this creative. You're doing Advantage Plus. You're doing all the different methods that we teach in this channel. You can go and you can do them because at this point, you know that this creative is working very well and you're just playing with the different strategies that you can actually use. I wouldn't do ABO because I don't like them. I don't think that they are scalable or they're going to help you spend a lot of money. But other than that, it's very good of doing that. And you should not care about showing, especially in your case, imagine that it's even easier to think that you should not care about it because you're using completely different audiences. So you try to show it to different audiences. But even if you show it to the same audience, it doesn't make any sense for you to be afraid about overlapping of audiences because the results are going to show if people are annoyed by it or if it doesn't work or whatever. I don't believe in overlap. I have found the crazy method, which is all about overlap. So I don't think that you should be either. Konstantinos, anything sandbox creative testing methods you see working best in your ad accounts? I have always just done ABO, but I'm testing with Advantage Plus recently. So Tommy, so far, these are not questions. Basically, you are asking something and you are answering to yourself your own. I think that the most efficient way right now to test creatives is the Advantage Plus. There is no better way of doing it because it's such a good way of putting a lot of ads over there. If you know how to optimize it, if you don't, you can see my videos. But if you know how to optimize it, I think that you can have very, very, very good results with the Advantage Plus and the way that you can actually use it, not only for testing creatives, but also for, for having more campaigns working while testing, having sales and scaling also. One note to that is that in the Advantage Plus campaigns, don't forget that we have the dominant ad. Most probably, if you don't know these kind of things, you need to see all of my Advantage Plus videos. We have the dominant ad, which is taking all of the budget. So if you have 20 creatives and you have one of them taking all of the budget and you have good ROAS, perfect, leave the campaign. Just duplicate it and run it without these dominant ads so that you can test all the other creatives. If you want to test all of the creatives equally, this is not something that you can do within the Advantage Plus campaign. But if you want to test which creative is the best one to get you sales, then you can test it in the Advantage Plus campaign. But keep in your mind that maybe you have to duplicate it and run it with all of the others except the winning one, because maybe there are more winners over there that you haven't tested efficiently because of the way that Advantage Plus is actually working. Now, let's go to the next one. We have Alexander here. Is it possible to upload different size images for dynamic ads? Dynamic creative ads, they don't have different sizes, but the way to do it is you can have a structure into your campaigns that you are not having the button of dynamic creative ads on, and you're going to your ad level, and you're uploading an image and you will see that you can put different variations for sizes for the different placements. But no, this is not a possibility in dynamic ads. In dynamic ads, you should use 1x1 square or 4x5. I would prefer 1x1 just for the creative to be on all placements. And you cannot do it in another way. Next one. Konstantinos, thanks for the quick response. Would I need multiple ad sets so that I can have some with only story placements and other with only feed placement? If I just created more ads, some with story size and some with feed size in an ad set with both placements, Wouldn't it be random? And sometimes the story size image gets shown in feed, and sometimes the feed image gets shown in story. First of all, it's going to show the story to the story and the feed to the feed. It's not going to do any changes and just show the image that you have in the feed in the story. This is not going to happen. Now, in what you're proposing over there about having different ad sets, most probably for dynamic creative ads with stories only and different ads with feed only, this is something that I have done also. I'm doing it in bigger spend accounts where I want to spend more and I want to segment even more my targeting to different placements. But I wouldn't use them in the same campaign. For example, stories might be cheaper from feed and the opposite in some cases. So I don't think that you should blend them together in the same campaign and have some assets for feed, some assets for stories. You can have one CBO campaign with your assets for feed placement only and feed creatives, and you can have another CBO campaign with your stories and stories creatives. Dynamic creatives, so that you can separate them and see which one is working better for you. If you have smaller budgets, I would strongly suggest you to work with Square, dynamic ads, and just one campaign, or you can do one campaign with the assets that you want, and inside not having on the dynamic ads, but having four ads per ad set, where you can put different creatives in feed and in stories in the correct size or whatever you want. Next one. Great video, sir. I have one question. Do you do broad targeting nowadays in Meta? I used to do broad targeting before the iOS changes. Now that it's even more powerful, I do it every day. I have a $40 daily budget and I don't know if this broad targeting will work with that budget. Broad is the future of Meta, and that's why I'm interested in doing it. It is the future. The thing is that you talk about $40 per day, so I'm guessing that maybe you're having a new pixel. If you're a new pixel, you have to try broad targeting to see if it's working. Most of the times I would suggest to do broad targeting with some narrowing down of demographics like ages or gender if you have any specifics for your product. If you don't have that luxury, even try as completely broad and see if it's working. Sometimes in your account is working, most of the times it doesn't. If it doesn't, you have to go to interest, then lookalikes, then broad targeting. So you have to go again through the process of training your pixel to be able to jump to broad targeting eventually and help you get sales. But I think that you should try it, but don't stop to it if it fails, and just try to do the same with interests and then lookalikes, and then eventually broad targeting after some time. And then he says, great, with 40 a day, how much should I take, take any decision? The rules are the same, 1 to 2 days. And I have a video recently where I show that in the first 24, 48 hours, with new budgets especially, you're getting better results from Meta because it's pushing you. But after that, if this stops, because your pixel is not trained enough to keep up with this good traffic that Facebook is going to give you initially, you should do relaunches. I have a video about relaunches, it's called Don't Reinvent the Wheel, and I have a video that I'm explaining why in the first 24-48 hours you're getting better results. So you should watch those and you should understand. But the rule is two, if you have smaller average order value, 3 days maybe. If you have higher average order value items, you can be a little bit more flexible. These are the days that you need to take into consideration if you want to take decisions about closing or keeping your ads. Next one, wouldn't it be the opposite? If my pixel has less data, I should leave more time the campaign for the optimization. No, if your pixel has less data, and you, if you have a pixel which has less data, basically you don't trust it, so you don't leave it more days. So the pixels that are working, we know that they're working and we trust them. So we can say, okay, I'm going to leave it more days because I trust my pixel. If your pixel is fairly new and it has no data, you don't trust it to leave it more days because most probably the results are going to be zero. Okay, so what you're doing is that you give it again a push from Facebook because Facebook gives you the best quality traffic in the first 24-48 hours. We analyze the reason. The reason is that they want you to get one or two or three sales because these are conversion events which are going to help you get another sale and another sale and another sale. But after that point, the job is being done by your pixel, which is going to find more sales in the targeting instead of what Facebook is going to send you when it's sending you the low-hanging fruits in the first 24, 48 hours so that you can kickstart your campaign and start optimizing for a purchase event. So no, you don't trust your pixel if it doesn't have data. And you just relaunch it all the time in order to get the initial push. And if your pixel is lucky, strong enough, it can keep up. This is when you want to leave it for more period. It doesn't make any sense to leave it to optimize because first of all, it doesn't have data to optimize if you're not getting sales. And secondly, maybe your pixel will never pick up and actually optimize it properly. So you're just losing money. And especially at the start, when you start with a new ad account, you have to be more strict with your decisions because you don't have a stable ad account yet. Okay, next one. Does this method will still give good performance for now? He talks about High Society. High Society lookalikes is the method that I've developed in the previous September while I was in India with one of my friends, Bim. Basically, what happened is that we realized that you can create a worldwide audience and then you can go and you can target inside the ad set the country that you want. With that way, we realized that when we create a lookalike audience of 1% to United States, the potential reach was 2.3 or 2.5 million for the 1%, if I'm correct. When you were doing the worldwide lookalike 1%, and then you were adding as targeting inside the ads of the United States, you could see that maybe it was 23 million. So this brought me to the conclusion that the lookalikes, when they're being created, maybe by default, Facebook is having 2.3 million, but the 1%, it's much higher from what Facebook is actually creating as an audience when you create it by listing in the audience the country that you want. On top of that, we know that lookalikes, the 1% is always going to be the best one in theory, but right now it's not working because it's very small. So what if we could have 1% lookalikes with much higher potential reach? That would have worked well. And yes, this is how instead of using 10% lookalikes, I was using 1% worldwide lookalike with targeting United States or other countries. And it was working flawlessly for September, October, November, December. January, February. After that point, it stopped working. I don't know why. And Facebook started removing a lot the option of doing worldwide lookalikes into your audience section. So if you can do it, you can try it. But I don't know if it's as effective as it used to be. Next one. Thank you for the videos. These are great. Thank you. Can you provide any insights in the creative strategy for each of the ads you show? How? Why so many ads? You also mentioned results drop after a few days. You're just creating a new ad set when the results drop. He's talking about cost caps, of course. In cost caps, you can do many ad sets because they're not going to spend the amount of money that you are listing. So the idea of the cost caps, the way that I do it is that you're having a value optimization. You put it there and you say, I want to get two ROAS, spend $500. As long as you hit two ROAS, keep spending this $500. So maybe Facebook is going to come and it's going to spend $10, $20, it doesn't matter, or $500 where I'm going to scale the next day. But it's not like the other campaigns that you put $500 and Facebook is going to spend all of it. It's not working like this. Facebook is going to spend whenever it's going to get results. This is why I'm using a lot of ad sets because, for example, I'm doing 1.9 ROAS, 2 ROAS, 2.1 ROAS, 2.2 ROAS, because I'm also trying not only to get results, but also to get some volume. I'm trying to find which is the ROAS that I can put, how much can I drop in order to get the result that I want. So over there, you have a lot of ad sets that they have different ROAS or different cost caps inside. Then you are having a lot of ad sets because when this is working, it's working at least for now for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. And then the results are dropping. Then you have to relaunch it all over again. So all of these ad sets are staying and I'm keeping them for data Not understand. So that's the reason why I have so many assets inside. And yes, when the results are dropping, I just duplicate them. I might even duplicate them while the results are good, okay? Just to have another asset that is going to optimize and it's going to keep spending also. But it's a volatile method, which is, I'm not going to say risk-free, because sometimes they do spend, and they might spend a lot of money. But I must say that if you know how to do it, it's a much more controlled way of spending money. Maybe it's not going to spend anything, okay? But if it's spending, it can become a second income inside the account, except from the normal campaigns that you're going to have. Next one. But be careful, because it needs experience. Next one. Thank you for the reply. That makes a lot of sense. If you have a multi-product store, do you try multiple assets with different ratio testing, different products or collections? Or you just try to scale the best performing products? I'm wondering if just having a lot of cost cap assets for a lot of different products with a close to break even CPA might be a good way to acquire long tail customers. Now, you can do whatever you want, okay? But as an advertiser, most of the times I don't like to chase ghosts or dreams. So I like to be super realistic with what is the reality and what is happening. So if I'm getting good results with a product, I'm going to try to scale the product. I'm going to test other products in the meanwhile, but I'm not going to keep trying selling them if they're not selling. To my experience, it's super typical for stores to have one or two products that they consist 80 or 90% of their sales. There are few stores only that they have items that they are selling all of their items equally or as equally as they can, and it's being scattered among a lot of products. So yes, you can have different cost caps, you can test it, because as I said, at the end of the day, if it cannot, it's not going to spend any money. But you should not be fixated with the idea of I have to sell everything that I have in my store. Whatever is there and is working, just try to scale this one, the best sellers. Next one. Hi, Costantinos. This is happening to me in both CBO and ABO. One or two sales in 48 hours and my campaign dies. There is no way around it and I have lost money until the pixel gets better. I'm going to start relaunching the same campaign with smaller audiences, maybe up to 500 possibly, with a new pixel. Having a smaller audience might be more consistent and efficient. What do you do to break even? So I explained this earlier in the podcast. It's a totally normal behavior for new pixels, and you just, you know, do try again and again to get one campaign which is going to be consistent, it's going to have sales. At the best case scenario, this campaign is going to be profitable. In the worst case scenario, it's not going to be profitable, and you will have to see what's wrong, because you're getting consistent sales, but you're not profitable with your numbers. I had created one video that I'm showing how one brand was actually able, after some period, to become stable and consistent in terms of the results of the campaign, but it wasn't profitable because there were problems with the numbers of the company. So this is the video that this person also replied to. And relaunches, trying to find one campaign that is going to work, and eventually trying to see when you're having consistent results, if something is wrong into your funnel, your average order value, how you can improve there in order for you to be able to get more sales. As we said several times in this channel, Facebook doesn't care if you have a cost per purchase of $50 and somebody comes and buys something for $1 or $1 million. So it's up to you to sell a product or to have numbers that make sense in order to advertise on Facebook. To break even after some point, if you're consistent with what you're doing, most probably in order to break even, either you will have to wait for your pixel to get trained more, either you will have to create other creatives in order to have better sales because of that, or you will need to start working with your numbers, average order value, even with suppliers and how much you're paying for the product and stuff. Next one. We're using lookalike audiences and segmentation by age, location and interest. Do you still recommend this method? We are dental clinic and a more cold audience didn't work for us so well before. Most probably, if you're a dental clinic, you're targeting in a local area. So I wouldn't suggest you to use lookalikes and then narrow down with demographics, but I would strongly suggest you to do broad targeting without any interest, anything. Just do the demographic narrow down that you want to do and then do crazy method with that. And the funny part is that this comment came from this video that it explains all of that. So I think that you should go and you should do whatever you see on that video, which is how to do to run the crazy method with the lead generation. Next one. Does it really matter if I run the ads from a very new ad account business manager or from a new business manager or ad account business manager that ran several campaigns before? As I started running ads from a very new business manager and results aren't the best at all. It's been a day and I ran ads using the same creatives for the same company and audience for an unexpected business unexperienced business manager. And the metrics were much better for the same amount of time, but the account got banned, so it lands for a new business manager. It is for a roofing company, ad spend is 50 per day, CPM 25, but all other metrics are too bad, Facebook ads. So when you're running ads from different ad accounts, you can see immediately that they have completely different behaviors. From my experience, this is based on two things. I have seen, as I said, one ad account that it was working only with lifetime budget. So I believe that the ad accounts, they also form behaviors in terms of what is working and what doesn't work. If you have an ad account that you only launch one campaign with a huge budget and Costadinos comes there, for the first month, most probably I'm going to fail because this ad account is going to be used into running campaigns with just one, running ads with just one campaign and all the budget there. But if we go and we introduce my method of having several campaigns, which we're not just doing it because it's working, we do it also because it's a very much more safer way of running ads. If you want to overcome bad periods that you're going to have bad results, you have options with different campaigns that you can close, lower the budget and so on, instead of having just one and just lowering the budget all the time. So the thing is that, so first of all, ad accounts, they have behaviors. Secondly, we know that the ad accounts, the more they spend, the more old they are, the more they have assets inside that they have got approved and everything. You can see there that they have completely different results because Facebook is pushing better quality traffic to them comparing to other ad accounts that they are new. And even when you run exactly the same creatives in that they go to the same landing page, you can see that the differences are huge. So yes, the older ad accounts that they have history, they don't have rejections, they don't have bans, you were paying the bills into your time, they're going to give you better quality traffic, which means that you're going to have more sales because of that. Next one, Costadinos, how long does it take for a new business manager or a new ad account to optimize and start getting results? No old pixel available. It's going to take as much time as it's needed. It really depends on the amount of money that you spend, on the ads that you run, if you're going to get rejected ads, on how you're paying. For example, if you have a credit account or if you have an account that is charging your card immediately, the kind of ads that you're doing, if you're having success, the page score that you're having, all of that is going to take some time for the ad account to produce results. But don't, When we talk about some time, I wouldn't consider it 1 year, but 2 or 3 months for sure, in order to start giving you some better quality traffic and not consider you as a beginner ad account that it doesn't know who you are or what you are trying to sell. Last of your questions, it's not a question, it's just something that someone said. Facebook ads is a B2B level of scam. I just feel like there are a lot of people that they try to do Facebook ads and they just have a bitter taste about it because they were not successful and then they say that Facebook is a scam and everything. You know, and if you don't know it, you can see it in many of my videos that I'm super judgmental when it comes to Facebook and a lot of things that they are doing from customer support and other things. But calling Facebook a scam, it's like you're saying that nobody's actually winning from the ads. I can assure you that there are a lot of people and a lot of companies that they're winning from Facebook ads and they're super profitable and that Facebook ads is right now the best platform that it's out there. especially if we talk about scaling and stuff. The second one, in my opinion, is Google, but it's only for products that somebody is going to look for something specifically, and it's not just going to, you cannot advertise things that they are super visual and somebody has to see them. So when we say things about Facebook, we need to think that, okay, it wasn't successful for us, but there are a lot of people that they were successful with Facebook ads. And if you want a bigger proof about that, that's the reason that Facebook is actually behaving in such a shitty level to everyone, because they know that we need them in order to have sales, and there is no other alternative that has such a big volume or a way of selling specific items and products. So Facebook is not a scam, but it's full of shit, and that's the truth. And Facebook ads are working. They're working flawlessly in a lot of businesses. You just need to have the right numbers. And if they work for you, they just explode your business. And if you had a bad experience, I'm sorry, but there are so many others that are winning. And sadly, this is the reality. Some are going to win, some are going to lose, some are going to be able to do it, some are not going to be able to do it. The easier it is, the more people are coming to advertise. So then it's becoming difficult. So that's my opinion about it. And I told you, the biggest truth that Facebook is working is that they have the shittiest customer support that you can find in the world, and still people are using them. That says a lot. It means that they need them. Okay, that's all with your questions. I think that I answered everything. It's summer, it's hot. Sorry if I wasn't super efficient with that, but bear with me. Next one, I have in Freelancer Diaries here for this episode, two of them, because they're kind of similar. One of them says, help me get back my stolen Facebook account. My business Facebook account is hacked. I get Facebook to help me and I can't get it back on. If you can help me, I will pay you 250. If you can't help me, I will pay you 25. If that sounds okay, let me know. So basically, if you go to this person and you say, hey, what's your situation, blah, blah, and I have this problem, and you say, I cannot help you. Is he going to give you $25? I don't think so. It was funny when I was reading it. The thing here is that if you ever lose your ad account and you don't have access to your 2FA or whatever, things are difficult. I don't know how you're going to get it. For example, I'm having my mobile phone and I'm trying to protect it as much as I can, because it's also a locked device that I'm going to use in the future if I want to somehow retrieve my account or use my 2FA. So your mobile phone or whatever, if you're doing this especially professionally, you have to be careful with your devices or not getting hacked or everything. You have to be extremely careful. Next one, Facebook Messenger account hack. We are seeking a highly skilled individual to hack a Facebook Messenger account anonymously. So basically here they ask you that they want you to hack someone's messenger. The successful candidate will have a strong understanding of cybersecurity and will be able to navigate complex technical systems. Why would somebody needs to know cybersecurity when you want them to hack something? So that they can bypass it, I guess. This product requires expert level expertise in hacking and cybersecurity. The primary tasks of the job will include gaining access to the target's Facebook Messenger account and providing detailed documentation of the process. Oh, so they also want to know how you did it. It is crucial that the hacker remains completely anonymous through the project. He should be stupid to give his name, because this is illegal. Skills needed for this job include, he also puts the skills that they need. It's ethical hacking, cybersecurity, technical proficiency, and anonymity. So that's something new that I'm seeing. There are a lot of people that they want to hack other people, or you see messages that there are people that they say, I lost my two-factor authenticator and I want to find someone who is going to bypass it. Well, the two-factor authenticator was created so that nobody would be able to bypass it. And then you have people that they just want to hack other people. And this person is talking in a way like, what he's trying to do is justified, so ethical hacking and all of this kind of stuff, while he's actually posting a job in Upwork in order to be able to hack someone. Just out of curiosity, I watched below and I could see that he had at least 10 at least 10 people listed their interest in order to work for this job. So yeah, there are also people that are going to take the job, and they're going, maybe they're going to be successful also, who knows. That's all I had for you. I hope that you are having a great summer, and I will see you on the next one and last podcast for the summer. And since then, send me your questions, be creative guys, and be consistent. This was the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Like it or not, it is what it is.